Hi, this is Jonathan Ariola with TDTF Pod. And now from some quotes from Robert G. Ingersoll. It is 1,000 times better to have common sense without education than to have an education without common sense.
Inconceivable!
Will you please act like you have more than a two-word vocabulary?
Is there air? You don't know!
And now, a yak.
Yak?
Hey, don't touch that dial. You found secular yakking.
I'm Robert.
And I'm Amy.
After years.
Many years of yakking at each other.
We're here to yak at you.
So sit back and enjoy the yakking.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Hope you had a wonderful week.
Yes, indeedy.
I had a pretty decent week.
Busy as usual.
Busy as usual. Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's the last week of 2016, our last official episode.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, sort of. It's been kind of a cruddy year, if you ask me. We've done some decent stuff, but yeah, there's been a lot of bad stuff going on this year.
Yeah, well, the year's been kind of topsy-turvy, I think.
Yeah, I mean, really frustrating this past week. We've had a lot of big-time celebrities from our youth die. So
yeah.
That's really frustrating.
Yes, that is. Big influences.
Yeah, and then Trump got elected, so that's no fun at all.
That was a major bummer.
Yeah. But
so we'll have to see what 2017 holds.
Yeah, I think so.
Because that'll be interesting.
Well, as one of my Facebook friends had said, just remember, 20 days after the first day, Trump gets inaugurated.
Yeah, tell me about it.
We got 20 days of good. That's a plus.
Okay, we'll see.
All right. I suppose we should get into the show.
That's usually what we do.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to thank Jonathan Ariola from Too Deep, Too Fast Podcast for the Ingersoll quote this week.
You just keep tripping on that. You know that?
It's a tough one to say.
You keep saying tootie.
Too deep, too fast. That's my Southern coming out. Sorry.
Oh, please.
Anyways, I guess I'll do some Twitterers.
Yeah, before you forget.
Not so many this week.
Okay.
So we got Michelle, Michael Drain, The Savages, Geekish Cast, Anastasia Atheist, The Mindy Project, Elephant Lives Matter, Atheist Pal, and Harrison Scott Incorporated. Trademarked.
Did a little better this time.
Well, it's all English.
It's all English.
Or English close.
Yeah. Yes, and you were sick last week, and now he's made other people sick in this household. Thank you very much for sharing that.
Yeah, and one other big announcement.
What?
Somebody's turning a
number. Oh, shut up.
Yeah, somebody's birthday today.
Oh, shut up.
As a recording.
No. We don't need to announce that.
Yes.
And I'm sick, thank you, because of you. It's a present I didn't need.
Well, that's fine. At least so, I got you something.
So, you know, I'm nasally normally. Now I'm like super nasally because of this damn cold. I'm sucking on cough drops right now just to not have my voice freeze up.
All right.
But anyways, the show is more important. Let's move on.
Sure.
Well, it's better than talking about me. I hate that.
All right. GOP compares Trump to Jesus.
That still makes me laugh.
On December 25th, the GOP released a Merry Christmas statement that may have compared Trump to Jesus. Literally.
I just don't get it, but sure.
It says, "Merry Christmas to all. Over two millennia ago, a new hope was born into the world, a savior who would offer the promise of salvation to all mankind. Just as the three wise men did on that night, the Christmas heralds a time to celebrate the good news of a new king."
It's scaring me already.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds like they're trying to crown Trump.
I think they're trying to do more than crown him.
Yeah. Well, one question GOP spokesman Sean Spicer tweeted, "Christ is the king. He was born today so we could be saved. It's sad and disappointing you were politicizing such a holy day."
Wow.
Coming from the party that has politicized everything.
Well, that's kind of what I was just thinking. That's kind of hypocritical.
Yeah. But there's more.
Of course.
This is not the first time I've seen references like this. Many times during the campaign, I saw "In Trump We Trust" photoshopped on dollar bills.
Yes, I did too.
Yeah. During the GOP convention, Scott Baio said, "Is Trump the Messiah?" Or Trump a Messiah, not the Messiah.
Say that.
That was my misspeak there.
Yeah, that's good.
Quickly followed up by, no, he is just a man. So, but still, the implication was there.
Yeah.
Jerry Falwell Jr. compared Trump to King David as he defended his support of him by saying, God called King David a man after God's own heart, even though he was an adulterer and a murderer.
Now, explain to me, I don't understand, what is this love for Trump? Am I missing something? What?
So,
because I don't get this. Is it because we've had Obama for 8 years, a Democrat or something, and they're just so hard up for a freaking Republican?
Maybe.
Because I really don't understand.
Yeah, I don't get it either. It's got to be that he made some sort of I don't even know what to call it, a thing with the evangelicals, right? Because he's so anti-Muslim, which evangelicals are super anti-Muslim. If you ever read anything they do, it's super not Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
He's anti-immigrant.
Yeah.
For the most part. And just a slew of other things. He came out as anti-abortion. He's said things that are pretty much anti-gay. I mean, he kind of formed his...
So he basically says what a lot of people, I guess you could say, are thinking, and they like him for that.
So, yeah, I consider him a changeling. He becomes what he needs to become to get your vote.
Well, you know, growing up in Florida and having, you know, a family member who worked at his house, and so I heard about him a lot. And from everything I understood and know about him, he tells you what you want to hear for that moment.
Yeah, I know.
He's got a track record that proves it. He'll tell you everything that needs to be heard and said at the moment, and then later on down the line, it's whatever that situation calls for. It doesn't matter. He means nothing.
Yeah.
He'll say whatever.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. It's insane.
I don't know. It's so stupid, and it's so annoying that we actually have to talk about Trump so much all the time, and it's not going to get any better, especially with him now going to be running the country, which I'm still telling you is a joke. We're going to wake up and figure this out.
Yeah, it's going to be.
Because I'm sorry, it still sounds like a cartoon to me.
Yeah, it's no fun at all.
I mean, truly.
I'm Dustin.
And I'm Wesley.
We host the Atheist Nomads podcast.
We're godless geeks who take a skeptical look at
politics, religion, science, technology, and history.
We also interview leaders in the atheist, skeptic, and humanist community.
Check us out at atheistnomads.com.
That's atheistnomads.com.
Good evening. Don't be startled, children. I will be filling in as storytime counselor. So sit back, get comfortable. My story begins on a night just like this one.
So that's a new segment.
Yes, it is, that we're going to give a try and see how it goes.
I'm tentatively calling it Nerd Herd.
Yes. We might need to work on that, though, because it's all about science.
Yeah.
Because my thing is science. I like science news and info.
Yeah, and she's always bugging me to put more science and less politics in.
Yes, because he does a lot of politics, and I'm always telling him, you know, we need to stick a science segment, you know, but it's my thing. I'm interested in anything science of any kind, news, info, you name it. I'm just not smart and not a scientist by any means, but I do find it very fascinating and interesting.
Well, I think you'll find this one fascinating and interesting.
Oh, I know I will, because
you're always bugging me about this particular issue.
Yes, this story resonates with me so much because I have been saying it for so damn long, and now I have facts to back it up.
You have a study, not
fact. Oh, please. Oh, I'm going to call this a fact.
Okay. Working with things makes problem solving easier.
Yes, I know.
In a recently published study in the Acta Physiologica journal titled Insight with Hands and Things, two cognitive psychology experts from Kingston University, London, invited 50% participants to try and solve a problem of how to put 17 animals into 4 pens in such a way that there were an odd number of animals in each one.
Right, so they both have this chore, or this puzzle to solve.
Right, and putting 17 animals in 4 pens, where the odd number one is really, really difficult from what I understand. I've never tried it personally.
Right.
But anyway. The participants were split into two groups, with the first group able to build physical models with their hands, and the second group tasked with using an electronic tablet and stylus to sketch out an answer.
Right.
They found that the model building participants were much more likely to find the solution, which requires designing an overlapping pen configuration, than those with tablets.
Right, and this follows through with what I have been saying, that your brain functions differently when you have to do something physically versus the screens. Because as everyone knows, you and I are polar opposites on this, because you are a screen guy, whereas I'm more always hands-on. I hardly ever do the screen thing. And
now, to be fair, I work with my hands at work a lot more.
Yeah, than... but it's so mundane.
Well, that's true.
So it's no, you don't. No.
No, at work, I have to do a lot of in my head problem solving as well, because I can't exactly grab an electrical circuit.
But I,
well, I can, but it won't be much fun.
But I have noticed the difference, though, because over the last few years, you are so much into the screens that I've noticed in a difference in the way that your brain is functioning versus when it comes to creativity. Because you used to invent things, and you invented things all the time, and I've noticed, I don't know how to put it into words, but for me, it's like a neon sign I can see in your head or something, because you can tell that your thinking process is not as good as it used to be when it comes to stuff like that.
See, we go through this conversation every week or so.
Yes, because I'm right.
Well, apparently you are.
See? Exactly my point.
As much as it pains me to admit it,
you should listen to me more often.
Technically correct.
That's right, because as I said, when you do something physically, it fires different parts of your brain versus just doing something on a screen. Besides the fact this, you know, study shows this, but if you think back to like childhood, you know, when we were kids, we were outside 24/7, always doing stuff, not on screens, because, you know, we didn't have them. Whereas kids today who have nothing but screens and that's all they do, they go outside and they stand there like, well, what are we going to do? What the hell are we going to do? It's so boring. There's nothing to do. And yet we had nothing different outside that they don't have outside. And yet we could come up with everything. I mean, we created so much crap to come up with.
I know. Well, let's see.
At least I did.
Let's see what the scientist had to say. With this study, that some types of problems, regardless of an individual's cognitive ability, being able to physically interact with tools give people a fighting chance of solving it, said Professor French name. French male name. I don't know how to. It's Frederic.
Put a bunch of marbles in your mouth and try talking.
Now, that's just not nice to the French people.
I'm sorry. I'm French, and I don't like the French language. Doesn't mean
whatever.
I don't care.
By contrast, a pen and paper type method almost guaranteed they would be able to.
Mm-hmm.
It demonstrates how interacting with the world can really benefit people's performance.
And this was on the hands-on study?
Yeah.
Right.
So I think it's really interesting. And I tend to agree, when I'm able to sketch things out and I'm able to actually interact with objects,
right,
I can figure out a problem much sooner.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I think it's the interacting with objects, you know, being able to tangibly touch them and manipulate them. It really just, you fire your brain differently is all I want to keep saying versus just keep looking at a screen and you're kind of like, it's almost like I want to say one-sided almost.
Well, not necessarily. I mean,
no, but I meant as far as, I don't know, you work things out when you can physically feel something.
According to what I read on this, it literally fires different parts of your brain. It gets different processes working.
What have I been saying?
And
I can't help it. I'm tuning my own horn, which I never do.
Whatever.
But no, you're right. It's exactly what it does. It gets the juices flowing.
Fine.
Which means less screen time. I was going to say something really bad. I was going to say less screen time, more hand time, but I don't think
I might agree with you on that. I
don't think that's the right thing to say.
See? When you interact with things, things work better.
Shut up and move on.
Has God We Trust invaded your town? Are you tired of government officials who want to plaster In God We Trust on taxpayer-owned property? Are you afraid because your local sheriff placed an In God We Trust decal on the patrol cars? We are here to help. The original motto project is for those who feel the separation of church and state is an important issue and should be honored regardless of your belief or lack thereof. Theists, non-theists, and all free thinkers are welcome. We need your support to show politicians that diversity exists within our nation, and their promotion of a monotheistic religion and push for theocracy will not be tolerated. Stand up and be heard. Join us at originalmotto.us.
All right, one more story.
Yeah.
U.S. religious freedom law protects atheists.
Okay.
Yeah, well, the Supreme Court has had us protected for a very long time.
That's what I was just thinking.
This is a little different.
Okay.
Atheists will now be protected under U.S. law as part of new legislation promoting religious freedom signed by President Barack Obama.
Okay, explain.
From now on, the rights of non-theists as well as religious minorities will be enshrined following H.R. 15 amendment to the Frank R. Wolf International Religious Freedom Act.
Mm-hmm.
This is the part of the new amendment. The freedom of thought and religion is understood to protect theistic and non-theistic beliefs as well as the right not to profess or practice any religion, it says. This is a first for our community.
Right.
To have non-theism actually mentioned in a law.
Acknowledged and directly.
Just, yeah, and an international concept, too. Not just, you know, some state says it because...
Oh, right.
Because that's fine, because Washington State says that, right?
So you mean nationally?
International. So more than national.
Oh.
So this protects... It gives the America the idea that it can protect minority religions overseas as well.
Oh, okay.
So if say, Bangladeshi bloggers are getting hacked to death for being atheist, America feels it might have standing to step in and say, no, you shouldn't do this.
Oh, okay.
You know, because really they should.
Right.
Roy Speckhart, the executive director of American Human Associations, which lobbied for the inclusion of atheists, called the legislation historic.
Yeah, most definitely.
He added that his organization was, quote, looking forward to the U.S. Department of State, looking forward to working with the U.S. Department of State to ensure religious liberty for non-theist and religious minorities abroad.
That really is a huge step.
It is. He said that non-theists are now recognized as a protected class is a significant step towards full acceptance and inclusion for non-religious individuals who are still far too often stigmatized and persecuted around the world.
Right.
Right, because there's a lot of places around the world that still consider atheists to be devil worshippers, right? There's countries that are giving atheist bloggers 10-year sentences and 1,000 lashes.
Yeah.
I mean, he's still supposed to get those, by the way.
I can't understand that. It's just insane.
But laws like this help us out to gain the recognition we really, really need around the world.
I know. It's sad that we have to do that in the first place, you know? Just because someone has some different opinion than someone else.
So I'm very glad to see this legislation finally go through. And Obama signed it as one of his last acts as president.
Well, now let me ask you this. Does Trump have anything to say about this?
It would take an act of Congress to get it repealed.
Okay, well.
But then again, our Congress is not exactly atheist friendly.
Exactly. It's kind of where I was going with that. But, yeah, or is this something he's just not going to touch?
He's not going to touch it. Well, because it also protects minority religions. And in other countries, Christianity is a minority religion. So they would be protected, say, like in Saudi Arabia or Pakistan. And, you know, all those other countries where not a majority Christian nation.
Right.
So, yeah, this is a huge step forward for atheism in general.
Yeah. And I'm glad to see it. Absolutely. Took too long.
It did.
Brew pubs have always been a place to sit back, have a few drinks with friends, and talk about everything under the sun. Skeptics Brew Pub is just such a place. Each week, Brother Brewer invites people to come in and talk about politics, religion, skeptical inquiry, beer, geekdom, and whatever else happens to come up that night. You can join the conversation by chat each Monday night at 8:30 p.m. Central Time on Spreaker, or catch the show later on iTunes, Spreaker, Google Play, or any other podcatchers out there. That's Skeptics Brew Pub, where nothing is sacred and no conversation starts without a two-drink minimum.
I am an old man. Most people hate me, but I don't like them either, so that makes it all even.
Potter time.
Potter time. And this week being the last episode of 2016, a.k.a. the year America burned, we thought we would have the most pottery of Mr. Potter Awards.
I still think this is too easy.
I needed to take a break.
Fine.
There's actually a lot of research that went into this. It's not just...
Well, before you keep yakking on, you should probably mention who the Potter is first.
All right. This year, we'll go to the one person who literally brought Lionel Barrymore's portrayal of a corrupt business mogul to life. And that is none other than our fascist-elect, Donald J. Trump.
See? Too easy.
I don't know.
He's the epiphany, but he's too easy.
Yeah. In nearly 2 years of doing this segment, no other person has quite exemplified this award as much as he has.
I'm not saying it.
What?
It's just too damn easy.
Well, it's the end of the year. I decided to take it easy. Sort of. Yeah,
you went easy.
So let's start with some of the easy stuff.
Oh, fine.
In 2007, Trump rooted for the collapse of the real estate market because, and this is a quote, because then people like me would go in and buy. Much in the same way Potter did with the run on the banks in the movie.
You know, you could just have stuck him in the movie and it would have worked just as well.
Well, I'm not done. Okay. He also degrades and threatens to jail his opponents. Remember when George went to Potter for a loan?
Yes, I do, because we just watched it.
At which point Potter insults him and calls out a warrant for his arrest.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Trump treated all his political opponents and specifically made suggestions that he would lock up Hillary if he was elected.
Exactly my point.
Yeah.
But really, I mean, it's too easy.
But the similarities don't stop there.
Of course they don't.
Trump is also a narcissist and has a habit of making sure his name is all over everything he owns. Trump Tower,
yep.
Trump steaks, Trump ties, Trump hats.
That's very true.
Trump trumpets, I'm assuming. recall the town of Bedford Falls was renamed Pottersville when George was never born.
Oh, and just FYI for anyone who's wondering what the hell movie we're quoting, the movie is It's a Wonderful Life.
Okay, if you've been listening to this...
Yes, I know, podcast, but you never know for okay. anyone who's New just people, listening.
We base a lot of stuff off of movie.
Yeah, we do movie quotes like ridiculously too much. You can even ask our kids because okay. we'll start quoting stuff
for,
in the car.
For the history on the Potter Award, go listen to episode 2.
Oh, really? Is but that where it is?
Don't be critical of the sound quality of episode 2 because it's episode 2.
Terrible.
But that's the how the Potter Award came to be. So there you go.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I forgot about that.
Anyway, add to that his penchant for having his image everywhere, just like Potter had his own portrait in his office.
That's right. He did.
So, and there you go.
It's amazing. The matching.
Yeah, I'm not done.
Similarities.
If you recall, Mr. Potter found $8,000 that Uncle Billy had left and knew exactly what it was.
And who it belonged to.
And who it belonged to. He had the opportunity to correct the problem and not ruin someone else's life.
That is correct. Be a good moral person.
Trump has done much the same thing, but on a much grander scale. From spreading obviously fake news to starting fake accusations himself. He had plenty of opportunity to correct these, but instead chooses to destroy others' lives.
He likes it.
Yeah. One big example was when Trump tweeted about Boeing wasting money on Air Force One, causing a drop in stock prices.
I remember that.
And then a few weeks.
Come on, you can say it.
Later, he made a similar claim about Lockheed Martin and the F-35 moving the contract to Boeing. In this case, the Lockheed stock tumbled and Boeing went up.
Yeah.
I have to think that he knew this would happen.
Oh, of course he did.
And I can only assume how much money his buddies made off of that deal.
Exactly. That's Trump, you know. I don't care what he was running politically. He is not a religious man. He is an almighty dollar man.
Yes, he is. And in the movie, Mr. Potter is essentially a slumlord who built substandard housing for the poor and charges them way too much to live in them.
Sounds familiar.
He also named it Potter's Field, which is historically used to name cemeteries for the poor and unknown. Mm. Basically, a bunch of unmarked mass graves.
Right.
Trump is also a bit of a slumlord.
Yeah.
He wanted to get rid of tenants in order to build luxury housing.
Oh.
In 1981, Trump bought some prime real estate facing Central Park in New York City, but he needed to remove the rent-stabilized tenants to make condos happen.
Oh, okay.
Due to the contract, he knew he couldn't raise the rent, so he cut services instead.
That seems right.
According to lawsuits filed by the tenants, he cut heat, hot water, and he imposed tough building rules. Trump even proposed sheltering homeless people in the building.
Just to get them out.
Just to get them to move.
Isn't he sweet?
He even, already read that. The building superintendent, Anthony Ramirez, swore in court that Trump's building managers gave him explicit instructions. Quote, they didn't want any repairs done, no cleaning, no accepting of packages. Ramirez said, according to transcripts of the court hearing, just like in all Trump's legal issues, he settled out of court with no admission of guilt on
That's
this one.
All he ever does. I am sorry. He's a sucky businessman. Or could you see it as the other coin? He's a good businessman for himself.
Yeah. Well, the good news on that is that he never won the fight with the tenants. There's still people who live in those buildings still. So he was never able to turn them into luxury condos like he wanted.
Right. But still, he did all that to them to do it in the meantime. They had to go through all that.
But the topper here, and this isn't necessarily tied in directly with Mr. Potter, but I have a feeling Mr. Potter would have done this exact same thing, is the way he sold off his cabinet positions.
Uh-huh.
High-dollar donors to either his campaign or Trump Foundation have found their way into offices they are not actually qualified for.
Yeah.
According to Politico, 39% of Trump's appointees are from this group of donors.
Right.
Biggest donor who has met with Trump since the election is Todd Ricketts, Trump's pick for Deputy Secretary of Commerce. Ricketts hails from the family that founded TD Ameritrade, owns the Chicago Cubs, and is among the Republicans' top benefactors.
Yes.
They handed Republicans more than $15.7 million for 2016 and more than $26 million in previous cycles. Huge donor to the Republican Party.
Yes, obviously.
Right. Then you get into Trump's choice for lead Department of Education, Betsy DeVos, and her family, heirs to the auto parts and multi-level marketing fortunes, otherwise known as Amway.
Right, yeah.
Spent $10.4 million this cycle, including $444,000 to Trump's joint fundraising committee. She bought her way into the Department of Education.
Right.
Yep. Not to mention she is anti-public education.
But yeah, she's got a good position for it.
Yeah. Linda McMahon, the wrestling magnate who Trump named to the helm of Small Business Administration, gave a $6 million to a pro-Trump super PAC. She and her husband, Vince McMahon, are also the largest donor to Trump's foundation.
Jesus Christ.
Labor Secretary Designee Andy Pudzer, CEO of parent company of Carl's Jr.'s and Hardee's fast food chains, and his wife gave $160,000 to Trump victory tours and more than $600,000 to other Republicans this cycle.
Like I said, it's all about the dollar.
Trump's pick for Treasury Secretary, Stephen Mnuchin?
Yeah, Mnuchin, sure. Whatever.
Personally chipped in $425,000 to Trump's campaign this year.
So if you got the dough, you can buy your way in.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
What makes all this really interesting is that Trump said during the campaign that he was self-financed.
Please.
However, at the 2015 Iowa State Fair, he admitted that if he took money from other people, he would give them something back.
Yeah, a position that they are the polar opposite for.
And I quote, "I'm turning down so much money, but if someone put it up, I'd feel obligated because I'm a loyal person."
Yeah, sure.
There's so much more that qualifies Trump for the Potter Award. so much more.
Uh-huh.
We could do an entire 2-hour show just on Trump. Easily.
I don't doubt that, but I'm so sick of listening about Trump.
Yeah. And as if all of that wasn't enough, today he created the new government position of international negotiator.
The hell is that?
And gave it to his longtime friend and lawyer, Jason Greenblatt, who happens to be the executive VP of many of Trump's business.
Oh, boy. So, that could go all wrong.
I do believe international negotiator is the Secretary of State.
Well, that's what I was kind of going. I'm like,
The person who's supposed...
That sounds like something we may already have.
Yeah, we already have the Department of State.
Kind of give it better, you know, different words.
Yeah. International negotiator.
This would be a good time to play the little segment. Where do you learn to negotiate like that? Fifth element, people.
I know. If I had it.
Yeah. You're not quick like me.
Yeah. If I had it. Anyway, I'll leave you with this since I don't have much more time. What?
Nothing.
All right. Trump is by far the most narcissistic, greedy, compass, unpresidential, egotistical, ignorant, bullying fascist to come along since Mussolini.
Wow.
The very thought of him being the most powerful person in the world scares and disgusts me at the same time.
Yeah, that's a mouthful.
Yeah.
Makes you wonder about Mussolini and Mr. Potter.
They do kind of look the
same. Yeah, well, I wasn't even just going that route.
No.
That could work.
No, Mussolini's dead.
No. Does it matter? Either way, I'm so sick of Trump this, Trump that, and we haven't even started the 4 years.
No, and that's truly...
It's really kind of exhausting, but oh my God, does he really fit the bill for a Potter Award?
He is the pottery.
Literally, you could redo It's a Wonderful Life and stick him in the part.
Yeah.
Patreon goal.
Patreon goal.
What?
So if I get enough money, I will edit out Lionel Barrymore and stick in Donald Trump's head.
Okay, if you say so. What?
Yeah, that's what I'll do.
Ugh.
So go to our Patreon, give me money, and you'll get to see that movie.
Oh, really? You think you're going to be able to release that? Are you?
It's YouTube.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. You can do everything you want on YouTube. I was going to say, aren't there like little infringement rights?
Well, I'd have to look into them, but I believe if used for satire, then you can do stuff like that.
Like little tidbits of it kind of thing.
Yes. So just the parts with Lionel Barrymore.
Oh, okay.
Not the whole
movie. No, I mean, truly, you seriously could redo the whole movie in a modern version and stick him in that part.
Ooh, that would be something for Alex Baldwin, I think.
Yeah, that would be really good, actually.
That would be funny. With Bernie Sanders as George Bailey. or would he be Clarence?
I was going to say, I think he would, yeah.
He'd be Clarence, yeah.
Yeah, he would have to be Clarence.
If you don't know what we're talking about right now, go watch the movie.
It's old, it's black and white, but it's still good. I don't know what my thing is with it, why I keep watching it.
If you take out the religious nature of the movie.
Right.
It's a humanist
It's
concept.
Just it's a good feeling kind of movie. But it has, you know, of course, the religious undertones. It's 1946, 42, 46, I think.
46.
I think it's 1946, so what can you do?
Yeah.
They were just getting ready for a whole world of 50s religious shit coming at them.
Yeah, kind of screwed everything up.
Yeah, it really did.
Yeah. Anyway, that's all the yakking I got for you today.
I am so done because I am so sick and my throat cannot take any more of this.
All right.
Good night.
We always like to hear your feedback, so leave us a voicemail at 704-802-YAK or an email at podcast@secularyakking.com.
More input.
All comments are welcome. We like to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. You also can find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google+.
If you like our show, head over to your podcast directory of choice and leave us a 5-star review. If you really like the show, support the show on our Patreon page.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
And we'll be back next week with more yakking to please your eardrums.
Bye-bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.
Think it'll work?
It would take a miracle.
Bye-bye. Bye.